It's Tuesday night, June 29th.
Dear Father, we really want to rely on your Spirit tonight, Lord, because we have questions, and so we invite you to come and help us with these questions, reveal the answers, Lord, bring truth in this manner, as much as you want to give us at this time. And let us be open, let us be humble before you, and let us just, Lord, we want to see your Spirit spread across this earth, Lord. So, Lord, just give us some of that now, and continue to enlighten us and lead us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So, in the first chapter of John, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In verse 2, it says, "He was in the beginning with God." Who is he? Is that Jesus?
Some people say so.
Well, what's your thought on it then? If you don't have one, that's fine. I mean,
no,
I don't want to put you on the spot or anybody on the spot.
I got thoughts, but. We have Catholic priests and popes, and they put their little rendition in there too. And the Bible says that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And we have some things that are really strange, especially in the first chapter of John. You know, it says in the 18th verse, it says, "No man has seen God at any time. But the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father." What does that mean? What does that mean? We have a lot of strange questions. Glenn, we have been around and around and around and around. Oh, just over this issue that you're talking about. And, because of that, you know, we try to second guess God, and we can't do it. So God can do whatever he wants. It says that he was in Melchizedek. There's a scripture in there that says that Melchizedek was made in the likeness of the Son of God. The Son of God wasn't made yet. You know? And, Melchizedek had no father or mother or no lineage. There was nothing. He was just sitting out there. Well, I don't know. I know a lot of people have. If their people are Trinitarian, then the He is Jesus. If they're not, that he could be the Holy Spirit. You know, I mean, it could be anything. And so, you know, we've talked about this a lot. And it depends, you know, in a way it almost depends on how we look at it, what we think, or what we feel. And was he talking about Christ? It could have been.
That's kind of what I'm getting out of it myself.
Yeah.
No, well, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm not saying I'm wrong. I'm saying this is what I'm getting out of it.
Yeah. The scripture says the spirit or the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. And what a lot of people just look at the Bible and they say, well, you know, everything that's in here is spirit. It's, no, not really. It takes the Holy Spirit to give life. It takes the Holy Spirit to give revelation. And so, no matter how we see it, we might not see it right. How I see it might not be right.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's going to look at it in a different vein. That's
well,
what it means to them.
The Trinitarian is going to look at this thing, and he's going to find Jesus in almost every sentence. But it really doesn't say that. In the beginning was the Word. Was that Christ? And the Christ was in, and he was with God, and he was God. We don't have no scripture to tell us that. The scriptures themselves tell us that he was God. As a matter of fact, he makes sure that he tells us that he's not God. So, was he in the beginning with God? Were you in the beginning with God? We don't know.
Sure. Right now, I have an outcome that I'm happy with until I hear different. You know, and it's just from hearing all the different scriptures, especially about God, who is an infinite, eternal being. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, did he know he was going to have a plan of salvation for man?
I believe he did.
Sure. So then he knew he was going to create a son from the beginning, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I feel like that's the only reason we were all created, and this world was created, was because he knew he was going to have man, whom he made, because he wanted to interchange with man. He wanted to be, what would you say, not just a friend of man, but he wanted to be a father, and you know. And so knowing that, he also knew that he made us susceptible, that we could have a free will and we could sin or not sin. So he knew he had to have someone or something that would redeem us. Well, he would know that from the beginning, wouldn't he? Because he's made everything.
Right.
So, it's like, yeah, Jesus was in his mind at that time. That he knew he was going to bring him forth. Because it was in the beginning, God knows everything in the beginning, or the end, or in between. You know? So if I was God and I was infinite and knew everything, I already knew I was going to have a Savior. I knew he was going to be by the blood because I was going to establish a people that were his people, that he would set up the ordinances and the statutes and everything for blood sacrifice. So, you know, he already knew all of that when he started it. He knew it before he even formed this earth. Because he's all-knowing. He's infinite. So that's where I'm at with it. That satisfies my curiosity or whatever.
Well, that's where you're at until God shows you different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And I don't disagree with either of those points, Glenn. I guess I'll say this. the problem we have in the flesh is we try and establish time in a natural way that doesn't work well when you talk about God, which is eternal and has no beginning or end, just was. One of the other verses that's kind of interesting is John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So that is saying to me, and then you go back to John 1:1 and figure out, well, what's he saying, what the Word is, and there seems to be, John is trying to communicate that God's perfect spirit, or his logos or whatever, as he defined which was the Word, and he made his son from that Word, and then he brought forth his son and turned that Word into flesh. And trouble is, we try and go, well, wait, we're separating scriptures from Jesus, and John is trying to say they're basically one came from the other, and that's what God did. And so I basically agree with Ken said that God knew what the plan was, and I punted on, well, was the us who was us when they talked about that, you know, was Jesus in a form when communicating with the Father before he made him flesh and had him dwell with us? I have no way of knowing.
Well, and to the other, where I'm at with that part, us, is I believe the angels were created before anything of human.
And their
spirit, and God is spirit, so that's the only image we could have of God that's the same, because we have a spirit that he put in us, that he made us with. And so, you know, because obviously you're not going to look like God, because God doesn't have a form, you know. But the image could be, and in it, I think it says likeness too, is you would have the, he wants us to have the attributes of him, you know.
Okay, let me.
But whatever.
Let me that's just throw right. something else in there. When it said he was in the beginning, could that be when he was conceived? There's another thought.
Well,
he would be, you know. Am I getting too deep into this?
Well, no, but I see that the word conceived can have a natural connotation, and it can have a spiritual.
But that would be the beginning of Jesus.
Well,
as a man.
As a man,
right?
I think Jesus was conceived as a man in Mary when he became flesh.
Right.
But what Jesus as the perfection of the Word and the Spirit, and where that fits along the timeline, I don't know, because there's no start and beginning.
It kind of, if you kind of go with the theme or whatever, though, in the beginning was the Word. He was in the beginning. So, I mean, I don't know if you can just make all of a sudden a separation that it was when he was born. I mean,
no, I'm just saying, we don't have an answer one way or the other.
Maybe we never will.
Well, that's fine. I'm just, you know, this is what I'm trying to figure out. If it's something, you know,
Well, it's kind of like, in the beginning was a Word.
Yeah.
And then he ends that phrase, verse was, and the Word was God. So in the beginning was God, and God and the Word are not the same entity, but the essence of God was what he put into the Word. You know.
Well, he spoke everything into existence by word.
By speaking it.
I mean, that's the way he tells us he did it, you know, because that's the way it's said in Genesis.
Yeah, the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
See, and to me, Jesus doesn't have to be right there. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made, because if there wasn't a Jesus, then there would be no reason to have made everything. Really, because there'd be no salvation for man. So it would just all end.
Yeah.
You know?
I do think you have to maybe the leap of faith, or at least the understanding that I'm standing on, is that at the beginning, God knew that man, without his son, was never going to make it. And he knew that he'd have to provide the Son, and he knew the Son would have to have his fullness, or would be given his fullness, in order to be the perfect sacrifice and to create the way. Yeah. And he knew that from the very beginning. So we struggle with trying, well, when did he figure that out? Well, he figured it out way up here. And then we said, well, when did this guy come along? And said, well, way up here, but we didn't talk about him until over here. And so you'll hear me say occasionally that the scriptures are restricted by trying to communicate something in natural to the natural flesh man that needs a spirit in order to be opened up to us. But if the spirit's not there, the words end up being natural, and they can be confusing, which is, I think, also kind of my design, because God doesn't want us all ciphering this all out here with the brain. He wants us depending upon him and the spirit.
Yeah, I was just thinking, but it's kind of a natural thing. I was thinking, well, if he was there, don't you think he would have made a little more mention of him in Genesis? But, see, that's kind of trying to think in the natural. to look for a natural explanation.
Well, that's trying to tie it together, isn't it?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Because actually he formed Adam first, and then Christ is in the genealogy of Adam.
Yeah.
Later, you know.
Wasn't Adam, you know, in the beginning was, you know, but wasn't Adam the one who named all the animals?
Yeah.
Wasn't Jesus? So it's kind of like you waited till, you know, but, you know, so it's kind of like, I don't know. But these are the right questions. I mean, because these are questions I don't think, as Jesus told Peter, you know, who am I? And Peter says, well, you're the Christ. And Jesus says, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. And, I mean, Jesus knew that he couldn't know that until the Spirit did. And so you ask a question, and I'm going, I don't know that.
See, to me, it would really be frustrating and so forth if he hadn't made, if he hadn't put comments in there that he knew us before we existed.
Right.
So that means he knew everything.
Yeah.
Right? From the beginning till now, till you are now.
Yeah.
So, you know, he knew he was going to have a Savior to save you.
Yes. We like to go, well, in the beginning he knew, and he'd go, wasn't in the beginning, I just knew.
Yeah, I always
knew. And we go, well, how does that work? And he goes, well, it's beyond your comprehension. And you go, yeah, you're right. I can't, I'm struggling with trying to put this in a frame of reference. And it's, you know.
And because it's like that is why nobody else should be making doctrines out of it either. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, there's enough here that you could try and argue either side of the point, and I don't think, unless, without revelation, I don't think we'll know. But those are good questions.
Well, I don't know if I was actually looking for an answer more than just other people's viewpoint on it. You know? To see, you know, if I'm looking at it wrong, am I looking at it right, or am I looking at it?
See, I've asked myself, well, the only way he could have probably been there would be in spirit, because he didn't get a body till he was born. Well, then I don't know, were we there in spirit too? You know?
And because we didn't have the fullness like Jesus did, we didn't know.
Yeah.
But maybe he was more aware.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, I guess beginning the medical history, I guess when you're conceived, you have a spirit from beginning, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Know? So, I mean, yeah.
Well, Glenn, you're not the first guy to say, I can walk into the meeting and go, I got a question. You know, where are we at with this? You know, what do you think? Because if you're meditating on the scriptures, and all knowledge is not coming through you, which we're both, I mean, or any one of us.
Right.
Not to personalize it.
No,
or any one of us. Then you come to the brothers and you go, hey, does anybody have anything about this? Or what is God showing you? And see if more revelation can fall.
That's what I wanted to find out. You know, not... yeah.
Yeah, well, it's...
The bosom thing, I mean, if you hold a child, you hold them basically in your bosom. And what is that? It just means you're really close. You're holding them close. So Christ was definitely very close to God. So to me, that's just saying, you know.
Yeah, and God, you know, we wouldn't recognize God having the bosom.
Right. It just, well, I think it's a term used to really endearment, you know, this is my special one, you know, like,
well,
hold them close.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
It's another natural expression to try and convey this concept. I mean, you know, John's head laid on the bosom of Christ, you know, and it's interesting, you know, we're saying, okay, and Jesus was in the, you know, Jesus
the bosom of Abraham, you know.
And so... which I think just could imply that they were like-minded in an aspect, or they were spiritually anointed?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's just like when the guys brought up that eye of the needle thing. That changed a lot of aspects, on Sunday.
I just mentioned it because it was something that just threw me for a long, long time.
Well,
and I mean, I was taking on faith. Well, okay, I have a needle, and someone pointed out, well, that's not what they meant. And I went, oh, okay. Well, it went from being like supernaturally impossible, but only through God, to not impossible, but difficult. Well, which I think is actually what was trying to be said, and it helped me.
Yeah, just finding out what the word needle meant back then. Because,
yeah,
like you said, well, here, I got this sewing needle. There's that little bitty eye. Well, ask 10 people, what would you get? You'd probably get the needle.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Well, the whole point of it was that it's almost impossible.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I understand that, yeah.
But this, I should tell you, I think I looked it up. It's,
I heard that same thing, like, years back, too.
But until I heard it, I heard the scripture many, many times where someone said, you do understand it's not a sewing needle. I go, well, actually, no, I didn't understand that.
Yeah.
Because it's no one's ever talked about it before.
Well, you know, that was very interesting. I mean, I thought it was.
I had to be very careful with a lot of these things because I was right there with Doug Brand in the very beginning, and I heard a lot of it, of things, you know, and I can't prove them because I don't remember where he got his information from. But there was a classic priest that put a lot of the thought patterns in the King James, and we say the Bible is perfect. No, the spirit of the Bible is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And can they add their two cents? Sure they can.
Well, which can be very confusing if you're not, because you're reading the Bible, you think it's the Word of God, but yet it's man's translation, Where do you get the best shot at it? In which Bible? You know what I mean?
You don't. You get the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. If without the Holy Spirit, you'll never understand the Bible anyway.
Hey. My truck broke down yesterday, Grandpa. So do you mind if I borrow the Buick for a couple hours?
Hey, you can humble yourself.
Yeah. No, it's all right. It's either that or the white car that's also about to explode. Like my truck.
Oh, yeah, help yourself.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Sorry to interrupt you guys.
Okay.
I love you guys.
You got the key?
Yeah, I'll find it over here.
Okay.
Take it easy.
Yep. And, you just got to keep being open, what I used to go, translations, I always book. But I know now that the truths that we need to know, God will reveal in every translation, mm-hmm.
Right. Yes, He will. it's kind of interesting. I mean, considering our background and how Bible savvy we were, meaning we were very literal. It's just interesting to me because I struggle with this because different translations and match up and, this one says this one says that. What is that? And over time came to realize that this could be slightly different than that one. But probably the Spirit is probably the same in both. Not probably, it is. And you just have to make sure you're not getting stuck on, you know, the detail instead of missing the concept. The one thing I know that Keith has always been impressed with when we start talking about 2 Timothy 2:5, and so I looked, and that verse, which really meant a lot to us when God revealed it to us, is translated exactly the same in all 30 translations that I look at. Word for word, not missing an S, not a word is italicized or something. It's identical. And it's very rare. I mean, generally I can find in the 30 translations there's a difference of a wording or two. But it excited me in the Spirit, because that verse is really critical to understanding who Jesus is, and that he's not, and the Trinity is just false doctrine. And yet God ensured that every translation allowed that to be exactly translated, exactly the same, no matter where you looked. And I think that's where Ken's going, like, if it's important, it's right.
Yeah.
Didn't really help us around that little snafu in Matthew, though, did it?
Hey, it's just there.
Because some have it and some don't. And, you know, it's so you go, okay.
I kind of settled on that one as, hey, it's confound the wise, or,
yes,
you know, or whoever wants to try to, you know. But I'm curious, did we ever look to see the one about, and they perished because they had not a love for the truth? Is that pretty much the same in most of them, too?
Keith, you remember exactly.
Is that 2 Thessalonians or something, or isn't it?
Yeah. What is it, 2 Thessalonians?
2:11. Yeah, that might sound kind
of. Spirit perish for love of the truth.
2 Thessalonians. Yeah, 2:10.
Yeah.
2 Thessalonians 2:10.
Charlie, you literally had my multiple translations. Chuck, would you go there and get my little translation? one of these, I think. Let me see the cover, and I can tell you. On the cutter. Right here, this way. What translation is that? What does it say? Let's see the front. No, not that one. I don't know where it is. Over here, Chuck.
Yeah, I think that's where Charlie normally goes, is over there.
And let's see the front cover, I can tell you. No.
2 Thessalonians 2:10.
No, a Bible. Yeah, 2:10. Let's see it. No, a Bible check.
Okay. I tripped for a minute, but I'm back to where I need to be. All right, let's see. NIV is, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. NLT, New Living, says because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them.
Yeah.
The English Standard Version is because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved.
So it's not saying in exact words.
No, but it is saying.
It's conveying the same thought in that one, though.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, it is different than 2 Timothy. It's where they
what was word for word.
Right. Berean literal is they not receive the love of truth in order for them to be saved. The King James says that they might. And the New King James says that they might. The New American Standard Bible says because they did not accept the love of the truth so as to be saved. And all the New American Standards, all three versions say that.
So, you don't have a love for the truth. It kind of sounds like you're not going to be saved.
Yeah. All of these say that basically that they might be saved or in order to be saved requires a love of the truth.
A lot of people think they have a love for the truth, but like we did, thought. And I don't even have as great a love for the truth yet as I should. You know what's funny, Glenn? On the way here, I was thinking, gee, I think I'm going to ask Glenn if he's got anything on his mind or whatever. Seriously, I did.
Yes, he did.
Well,
no, that's what we need to do. We need to keep asking God if there's a reason for us to know that, to the very truth that He'll show us.
Well, you know, sometimes we just have to, maybe a question's got to be asked once in a while. Instead of, you know what I mean? Because, I don't know. I mean,
believe me, we've asked a whole lot of questions.
I was even going to just make a comment that we've asked the same question at different times and had different answers because our understanding's changed.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole time when we were going through baptism was there was not a lot. There was a lot of moving ground. Not that things were.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, well, okay, and then more revelation and a bit more, and then we it ended up things in understanding that better opened up our eyes and revelation occurred in other areas. And because, frankly, think back about, you could have been asked a question about such and such scripture, 20 years ago, and your answer to that question today would be greatly different.
Yeah.
So, especially ones that we're not sure of, well, I think those are good to come back and say, so what do we think about this?
Yeah.
Where are we?
It says about the same thing in all translations.
It's not word for word like 2 Timothy, but it's the same.
Yeah.
It's the same thought.
Yeah.
Same directive, or whatever you want to call it.
You want to have a love for the truth because you want to be saved.
Yeah.
And without it, don't people know they're not supposed to call you on this Tuesday nights? Tell us, Steve.
Hello. Please leave a message after the tone.
Who's calling?
A robot. A robot's calling the number, and if he picks up, then a different thing will happen. We've got a thing on our phone called spam blocker.
Yeah.
So we have been blocking phone call numbers probably 5 to 10 a day the last month. At the rate we're going, there won't be many phone numbers. We'll let through.
I've been getting some, but I still get one, and I don't, if I don't recognize the number and it's not in my contact list, I just don't answer. I shut the
Make a good voicemail.
Yep.
Well, the problem I have is I have a mother who likes to likes to sign up for the other day.
My poor good guy. Good fish. Hello. sir. Oh, yeah. Good. Did you just try to call me under the phone? On the other phone. On my house phone? Oh, yeah. Okay. That was you then. Yeah. How are you doing?
Can you pause?
No. Well, we're just, some of the guys and I are just sitting there talking about the weather. Yeah. So. Oh, that's okay. It's okay. We're fine. Yeah. Are you doing very good? That's kind of my situation. I don't get a chance to drive either.